Hello and welcome to DNF One. This is the results show with Glyn Martin and Derek O'Connor. Right, hello and welcome to DNF One. This is the results show. Thank you for joining us again. So, Derek, a completely different race to last weekend. I'll be honest, the cameras pretty much stayed on the front three most of the race, and the midfield battle was, I don't know what really happened.
A midfield battle, you know.
It kind of felt like we were back to normal in the sense that the cameras are sticking on Hamilton, Bottas and Verstappen. And it's only when we get to the end we actually see where the midfield battle has kind of came to.
Yep.
Now, Derek, I have to say, I enjoyed the race today, but you have some very strong issues on tyre management.
Oh, it's all about tyres. It's all about look, my tyres are going off already and I'll have to slow down a little bit. And then they say to Verstappen, oh, your tyres are going off. You're going, oh, stick it. I'm not going to drive like a grandma around this track. You know, I want to drive, you know. And then so he flies off like a lunatic, gums up the back of somebody and they're going, oh, my God, it's going to wear the tyres out. We can't put, oh, he's doing all right. We'll carry on with this idea. It's okay. The tyres are fine. Just keep going. You're fine, you know. And it keeps going and going. And then oh, dear, Bottas, you'll have to come in and change your tyres. Quick, bring Verstappen in. We'll change. He's only done six you know. Off he goes again, right, you know. Hamilton's going, my tyres are running out. And that's all it's talking about. Not, oh, and there comes Hamilton going to overtake. So, no, it's not that. And the car behind him is overtake. No. And then, right, I'll shut up now. That's my rant over with for today.
I'll be honest. When you put it like that, actually, that's a fair point. The tyre management was a bit of an issue. And this is the thing. Normally, we start at the back of the grid, but we'll come to the back of the grid. With the higher temperatures, the softer compounds, the Mercs really struggled. Now, we've seen this in the past on the odd occasion, but we're now going into actually a series of races because we've got Barcelona next week, which is, and we spoke about this before, it's going to be peak temperatures, it's going to be high temperatures, and Max made the choice to actually go with hards in that in Q2, and it paid dividends. Why did one of the Mercs not do the same? Okay,
that's a really good question. I mean, and they thought they had it covered, and they thought they had it right, but they didn't. They were on the wrong tyre strategy, and then, again, we're talking tyre strategies.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not. It's not driver racing performance. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The thing is, obviously, because the Mercs have got that higher level of downforce, the car was eating its tyres a lot quicker than, clearly, than the Red Bull. I mean, Verstappen was really happy on the hard tyres with the fuel load being high for quite a few laps, and they came in, changed them to the mediums, and then they had the flexibility and the choice then to just change them again. When Bottas came in, I mean, I'll be honest, we called it yesterday, and we spoke about it yesterday, and we thought it was going to be a case of Merck, and then Red Bull, and we got it completely wrong. I didn't see this coming at all.
No. I think it's just, I mean, it was still Merck, Red Bull, but just slightly the other way around. You know, it was Red Bull, Merck. But, hey, it's near enough. Look, what it was it's something that they're not taking into account. They're not working out the fact that they had to use higher tyre pressures.
Yeah.
Mercs work better with which was pushing their car higher off the ground. Now, the Red Bull has always had a sort of a wedge shape. It's always had the back end further off the ground because it's always relied on the front end being lower.
Yeah.
So I think the race actually played into Red Bull's hand today.
Yeah. Then again, we've got to take our hat off to Red Bull, outstanding strategy, and Max managed the tyres, managed the race, and to come from fourth to win the race at a track that should be dominated by the Mercs.
Yeah.
Well done, Red Bull.
And I liked his bit of humour with the remember to hydrate again, and then your hands must be sweaty with me driving like this, you know. Make sure you're sanitised before we bash elbows, you know. I mean, I thought that was, you know, it shows good. That they're driving at such high speeds and all the thing and pressure and all the rest of it. He's still got time.
Max has got a lot sideways of capacity in there. Yeah, yeah. And that's obviously the hallmark of these drivers. With us going to Spain and Mugello Because Mugello's tough on tyres, or will be tough on tyres, and the temperature's still going to be quite high. Do you think that, that Red Bull have actually got a chance over these next sort of 2 to 3 races? Or do you think it's a case of Merck are going to be obviously aware of it, they're going to work on it, maybe reduce the downforce to help the tyres? Do you think this is a case of Red Bull have kind of shown their hand here at Silverstone? They couldn't do anything else, I get that. But do you think Merck is going to be back on the case over the next sort of couple of races? I mean, Mugello's got to be one of those ones where we're not really entirely sure what's going to happen because we've not really been there as a track. But we can look at the track and actually see the outlay and all the rest of it. We know it's going to be tough on tyres. There's a lot of hairpins, a lot of sharp bends, high-speed bends. It's definitely going to be a case that Merck's going to struggle over the next two races with high temperatures. So is this the chance that Red Bull's been looking for to try and get back into this battle?
Yes. I think they've got a good chance of coming back into the race. I think they've got a good chance over the next couple of races to gain some points. Only if the Mercs fall by the wayside. I think the Mercs have already got a very good, healthy lead in the championship. And even with Verstappen, they would have to get Albon up into second.
Yeah.
To give them a chance to do anything about the championship. And I don't think there is enough chance for Verstappen to even challenge for the Drivers' Championship.
No. I don't think he's... Because as the temperatures start to drop, because the way the season's going to play out, once we actually get past Mugello and we start to push into those later months, it's going to play into Merck's hands. With colder track temperatures, they can push the downforce, they can use DAS, and they can bring up the tyre temperatures to an operational temperature that Red Bull and the midfield and everybody else is not going to stand a chance on it. The thing is, actually, this particular race, it was actually Albon that kind of kicked off the pit strategy, and Albon had some fantastic overtakes in there. He really was showing what he's capable of. But again, even finishing fifth, you've got to see Albon finish fifth in a car that obviously won the race. If he just qualified better, what could be the potential, you know? And it's fine Max being out there on his own, but he really needs a rear gunner if they want to challenge.
Yeah, and I think they pushed Albon too soon last year. I think they pushed him into the main seat too soon. He should have had at least this year and last year in the AlphaTauri, and they should have left Gasly where he was. And I think Gasly's matured and he's come further. Yeah. You know, if he was in the better car, he would be further up, I think. And I think these are the points that should have been in their mind instead of, oh my God, he's just crashing and he's coming back. You know, they should have given him a little bit more time to mature, Gasly. And then with Albon, he should have been ready to come in sort of next year. In 2021, and that would have been the right progression. Same with they're doing with Russell. Same with they've done with Russell at Williams. He's sort of maturing nicely. He's getting his racecraft together, working at Williams, working at the back, knowing what it's like to be at the back, but knowing he has a chance of getting that Merc seat when Bottas doesn't get a renewal next year.
I think that'll be the case.
I think that would have been the better way to do it, but hey, who am I to say?
Merck are ready to drop Bottas like a hot potato, because I think maybe in America actually that Russell can't be any worse. I think Russell's got the potential to actually be just as good, but age is on his side. So there is that. I mean, as for Kvyat and Gasly the day, Kvyat actually went up 5 places and Gasly actually went down 4, which, then going by the Red Bull sort of mantra that you would want to put Kvyat actually into the race seat, but they're not going to put either of the two in because they've already put them in and then removed them. Look, I think actually going to the next two races, it's going to be all about tyre management. I hate to say it, Derek, but it's going to be about the temperature and the tyre management. The other thing I wanted to mention, and if you get the chance either on video or replays of the race, etc., have a look at the Red Bull diffuser at the back, because it's a piece of art. I saw it actually at the back, and the diffuser that Red Bull's using is like something off the Batmobile. It is just a stunning piece of art. It may obviously be helping the car, and they may be progressing it forward, but unfortunately, we know full well that the Mercs, when the temperature drops, they are going to monster it because they can bring the temperature up. And it's sad to say it, but clearly Mercedes made a mistake in qualifying by not getting one of these guys on hard tyres and actually covering off Max Verstappen. They could have slowed him down and made it a closer race. But it is what it is. It was a good race. I enjoyed it. We didn't get to see as much of the midfield as I would have liked because the midfield seems to be where the battle has really gone on. We've got Leclerc finishing fourth, Albon in fifth, who came through with some fantastic results. Disappointment with Hülkenberg going back to seventh, but let's be honest, he's not raced in 9 months, 10 months, and he's in a car that, and his neck and performance, I think that's a great, still a great performance for him. And it goes to show where the recent points are. They're still behind the Red Bulls and the Mercs. Leclerc getting in there in the mix, though, is pretty good. Leclerc was really happy. Leclerc said it was like a win for him getting to fourth, and rightly so considering where Verstappen. Now the thing is, Verstappen had a spin, as did Ricciardo, so they're down the field based on those spins. But
Vettel, you said Verstappen, but I'm not going to argue with you because Verstappen didn't have a spin.
Vettel. Sorry.
Vettel. Yeah, go on. Carry on.
Vettel's spin, he just got down the power on the curb and spun it up.
Tank slapped it.
Yeah, it got a wobble on. He was lucky not to take it one of the McLarens. I'm not entirely, I think it was Sainz.
Sainz. He nearly got through Sainz.
Nearly got him. But I don't know what is
his luck's
problem.
Just gone from no luck to bad luck, you know what I mean? He's sad,
Do you think any team that's looking, do they see Hülkenberg and go, he's came back after like all this time off, would he not be a better bet than getting Vettel in their team?
I actually think keeping with Perez might be even better than going with... You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, Perez has had as good as Hülkenberg, if not better. I mean, he's always managed to pull a couple of podiums in. I mean, I know Stroll has now, but
I think Stroll's performance today was strong. I mean, let's be honest, the recent points to finish sixth and seventh is as good as they should be getting, because you should have, you should have two Ferraris, two Mercs, and two Red Bulls in front of you. So finishing sixth is one position better than the financial guide that these teams have to be working against. So it's a good result for both of them. Moving through, Ocon came through the field, had a clean race, finished in eighth. Norris in ninth, and Kvyat rounded out the top 10. A good performance for Kvyat, moving up five places. Gasly dropped four, and then we look at Seb with a spin in 12th. Sainz in 13th. Disappointing, just didn't go anywhere. Considering that car with Norris is at least a top 10 car, and you would expect Sainz to actually be up there further. Because even between Norris to Sainz is easy 10 seconds. 10 seconds is a difference over race distance.
Yeah.
It's just not on. And then Ricciardo with the spin, 14th, disappointing considering where he started, dropping 10 places. And then we start to get into the Kimi, Roman, Giovinazzi, Russell and Latifi. Really disappointing for the Williams, and then Magnussen, another DNF. That's two weekends in a row he's been DNF. They had to retire the car.
Yeah.
Disappointing. Yeah. What do we take for this, Derek? Because I'll be honest, Merck need to obviously look at these things and think, right, okay, we need to deal with the tyres and perform better than this at hot tracks. But it's a fine balance between the extra downforce that they benefit at 90% of the tracks, and just accept that 10% of the time they're going to be outdone by a Red Bull that's actually kind of his tyres.
You know, it gives everybody a false spring. Makes everybody think they've got a chance of beating them, and then they come back the next time and just...
Yeah.
Oh, we'll try this difference, you know.
And look, the strategy difference between Bottas and Lewis. Lewis was clearly faster. They were going to try and this is what we spoke about before we even started the podcast. Do you think Lewis was going to wind up second if they left him out in the tyres or whether they changed the tyres, but was it the right thing to do? Because when he came up behind Bottas for one lap held him up and then went, you know what, crack on, I've now got the speed.
Can I ask you, do you think that if it was the other way round and it was Hamilton with Bottas coming behind him, do you think he would have got past Hamilton? Do you think Bottas would have got past Hamilton? I really don't think,
and I'll tell you why. Because Bottas has got that, I'm a second driver. And today, again, with Max Verstappen, it came up actually in commentary, and I went to mention it yesterday, about how they would put components on the other car. So this is going back to the last time that Red Bull actually won a race, and it was actually Mark Webber who said, not bad for a number two driver, because they were given the components or the new components to Vettel at the time. And Bottas is in the exact same situation. Let's be honest. Bottas likes to say he's going to win a world championship. He likes to come back and he's 0.2, he's 0.3, he's 0.4. But he's not the measure at Hamilton, and that's just the situation. It's like coming back and saying, I'm better than Senna, or I'm better than Prost. It's not the case, and Valtteri knows that. So, let's be honest, like a lot of people in the world, we turn around and say, well, I'm happy to take the paycheck. I get to be part of the circus. Every so often, I get maybe a pole position. I get a win. But he's never going to win a world championship. And Merkel here's the carrot. Here's the carrot. You could win it this year. There you go. There's the exit door. Here's Russell, who will be the next Lewis Hamilton. And I don't see it being any different. And unfortunately, Bottas, nice guy, etc. But come on and convince me otherwise, folks. If you want to email us, it's dnf1podcast.gmail.com. Convince me otherwise. I just can't see it. He doesn't have the killer instinct.
He hasn't got that killer instinct.
No, that's it. It's the exact same problem we've seen with Hülkenberg and various different drivers over the years. It's just not going to happen. This year will be down to Valtteri or Max finishing second or third, but Hamilton's got it locked up. However, what we've seen, obviously, with the recent point in Perez, that is the one thing that's at the back of my mind that I'm thinking, oh, what if Hamilton winds up catching this testing positive to COVID-19 and they shut him down for two races? Maybe that's what Bottas is thinking. I mean, I'd love to see Bottas take a world championship like I did when Jenson Button took a world championship. Even though they came away with, it's not a trick car, but they came away with a development, a double diffuser and a car that was fast for the first nine races. And then Braun Racing struggled for the rest of it and they just maintained the gap. And they got the win. Great. Loved it. And Bottas kind of feels like that. Bottas needs to be close enough. And needs even Vettel must be thinking, they've got to be in striking distance of Lewis if he shows a positive result. And that's the only way I can see Lewis not taking this one championship.
Yeah, it would have to be a lot of bad luck. He'd get ill or be taken out on the first corner quite a few times. Then maybe they'd have a chance, but... If he's still in there, he's still battling and he's still scoring points.
Yep.
I think they're going to struggle to catch him.
The other thing that came out this morning, sorry, I'm erming, but recent point came out and they've started swinging regarding that the car is legal, and I get their point. They have turned around and they've put a power of work into this. And although there's lines that have been crossed, etc., they're not bad enough for them to turn around and say, we're not going to be doing this, the car's not legal, etc. We're taking parts off. But if you check online, check on YouTube, Chambier does a great video actually on the legality of the recent point and where the ambiguity comes in between the FIA. And the FIA, the reason they have been so lenient on recent point is because the ambiguity of changing the rules for 2019 to 2020 regarding the brake ducts, etc., has been caused by the FIA to a certain extent. Yes. They have now shored up those rules and clarified them, and we might not get a result of teams copying exactly, but there's still scope within the rules. But as far as I'm concerned, the Pink Panthers have done nothing overly wrong. It's well within the rules. The FIA was aware of it. The FIA was happy with 99% of it. These other teams just need to get a grip and move on.
Yeah, I know that definitely. Did you see Lawrence Stroll's rant? Sorry, prepared statement that he gave this morning.
He didn't swear. Did he?
He read from the auto cue and he went on, and he was getting more and more passionate as he was going ahead. And I agree with him. I think if they hadn't done it with the auspices of the FIA in with them, you know, and then yes, maybe somebody's got a thing, but they went the right way about it.
Yep.
They went the right way about it with Mercedes, they got the parts from them when they were still legal to get the parts from them and all the rest of it. It's fine if you change the rules afterwards, but make sure you've told everybody that the rules change means you actually can't use what you got last year, but that didn't say that in the rules. It says from now on you have to. Okay, from now on we will.
And the ambiguity lies in the rear brake ducts. That's the thing. The front ones, the FIA does not have a problem with, because what they've provided in 2019 and race with in 2019 means that the FIA would expect Racing Point to change the entire design of the car because the front brake ducts make such a difference. But it's the rear brake ducts where they've been penalised, and that's where the problems came in. But the rest of these teams need to get on board and just accept it, because even today, Racing Point finished 6th and 7th. It's not like they came 1st and 2nd. And
I actually think what they've been accused of is nowhere near some of the things that the other teams have done. We're not going to go back down that line, I know, but what I'm trying to say is I don't think they've done anything near what the other teams have done to achieve what they've achieved.
Last year, Red Bull with flexi wings, Renault copying
dossiers, this
20,
one, dossiers and that, you know. I mean, yeah, so
2006,
come on, you know,
2007. Run through them. Yep, Crashgate, and then we've also got the McLaren copying the Ferrari in 2007, where they got fined $100 million. I think it's such double standards by these other teams, and that little ferret that's running Renault.
Leave Cyril alone. He's done nothing wrong. He's got his meatballs on the table. You leave him alone.
I cannot stand the man, and I cannot stand his ethos. And you know what? Design a better car. You've got you're spending about the same amount of money. Design a better car. Last year it was like, oh, get it up, you Red Bull. We've got Ricardo and stuff and all the rest of it. And the bottom line is, Renault just ain't what they like to think they are. And Renault have been buying the drum, oh, let's change these rules. 2022, we are going to hump yous. And just, it's such an arrogance from Renault that no wonder Ricardo's leaving, and Cyril needs to go have a word with Cyril. Renault, suck it.
Quick jog off a short pier. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, I enjoyed the race today. I thought, even although tyre management isn't your thing, and overall, I think it actually shows us where we're going in the next couple of races, and Ross Brawn needs to turn around and realise that the Formula One is not about tyre management. It's not about these guys being the best driver because they can manage the tyres. It should be based around who is the best driver on the fastest tyre round the track, and it's a sad state of affairs that Formula One finds itself in. And for it being the 70th anniversary of it, my heart bleeds for Formula One at the moment. It really does.
Yeah.
2022 has to fix these problems, otherwise it becomes a sport that's just not what we signed up for.
No, I know. Right. I think that's
That kind of covers it. Thanks for joining us, folks. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. We will be back next weekend with the Spanish Grand Prix, Barcelona / Catalunya, Formula One Grand Prix, unless Spain shut themselves down because they keep letting their virus get here there in the next place. I'm looking forward to next weekend. I think actually today's result has played into it being a more interesting race. It will depend on the tyre choice, because if we go back to the same tyre choice as what we had last weekend, then we will revert back to Silverstone last week, and there'll be no excitement, and we will be watching the midfield battle again, which was nowhere to be seen on the TV today. They just stuck with the front three, but yeah, what it is.
It's what it is, where it was, you know. But hey-ho, we'll get there.
So, folks, until next week, Derek, it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe, take care, enjoy the week. See you next Friday.
See you then, folks.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Beer Cap production for DNF1.